Hey, thanks for joining us for this episode. And before we get started, I want to go ahead and give you the heads up. This is going to be a little bit of a longer episode because what it is a live recap of Apple's most recent event, which was the keynote for their Worldwide Developers Conference, WWDC. They announced a lot of new stuff, new Macs, new software, and an all new product that is actually very, very interesting. And so I'm excited to share that with you. Before we get started, though, I do want to remind you, make sure you subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Luke Clayton, and this is the Must Increase Podcast. All right, welcome to the Must Increase Podcast. And this is something really different that I am going to be trying today. So in the past, I have recapped the Apple events. I've tried to do that pretty much every time they have an event. I try to do that within a few days of that event on the podcast and YouTube channel. And so today I'm going to be doing something different. I'm actually going to be watching it live and kind of reporting on it as we go. And I've not done anything like this before. So it's going to be, again, kind of an interesting experiment. And so every once in a while, what you're going to see if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see this video feed pop up in the bottom corner, and that is a feed of the actual event. And you're not going to hear any audio from that feed. It's just me. I can hear the audio from it. And so I'm just going to be kind of letting you know what's going on at the event. And we're also going to have times where they're definitely going to be saying something that probably isn't super relevant to, you know, or it's just really detailed or whatever. So that's always my goal here, is to hit the high points, if you will, kind of say, hey, here's the stuff that you need to know, because this event could last upwards of 2 hours. I have no intention of this episode actually being 2 hours long. And so with that in mind, we're also going to take moments where we kind of pause, and then I'll come back when they're talking about something particularly relevant. Now, as of recording, they're about 2 minutes from starting. And so I'm going to kind of make some predictions based on rumors and all that stuff of what we look to see today. This is WWDC, which is the Worldwide Developers Conference. Apple hosts this every year in June. And so what do we expect to see at this event today? Well, a lot of times, in fact, that kind of historically, or I say historically, the past several years, kind of the main focus of the conference and of this keynote presentation is their software. And so we're going to be seeing things about the, iOS, iPadOS, macOS. We're going to be seeing new updates to all of that, tvOS, watchOS. And so that is going to be, if we don't see all of that, I'll be very surprised. Now, because there are some other announcements rumored, some of that might be somewhat truncated and maybe abbreviated. So, for example, you may not see things about as much detail about tvOS, for example. They may just kind of breeze over that one. But nonetheless, this is what the conference is typically about, is the updates on OS. But there also are some hardware announcements expected. And one of those is the 15-inch MacBook Air, which I would really love to see that one. And then the other is one I could care less about, which is Apple's VR headset. If you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that virtual reality, the metaverse, all this junk, I care nothing about. In fact, I really hope that it dies. And it seems that it is dying, at least in the world of Facebook and Metaverse and Meta and all that. It seems to be a completely failed experiment on their end. But if anybody could bring it back, it would be Apple. I really wouldn't want to see that, but I do think we're going to see at least that headset premiered today. Now, as of now, it is time for it to start. And so I'm sure it's going to be coming on here soon. So I'm going to take a break here. Oh, something else we'll definitely see is some virtue signaling, if you will, from Apple. And so that's just how they roll. But anyways, I'm going to pause here. And I'm going to jump back on whenever that's something, kind of begin the recording here again, whenever it is something that is relevant that you need to know. All right. So, the typical intro stuff. Now we're getting into where they said they will be announcing big things. They claiming it's some of the biggest announcements they've ever made. Typical stuff you would hear. Now they have made it clear that they're going to start talking about the Mac. So let's see what they have to say here. Yep, as predicted, this is the 15-inch MacBook Air. So they're going to dive into the specifics. I don't expect it to be much different from the 13-inch other than the size, but let's find out. So here it is. Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the same as the MacBook Air 13-inch that they released this time last year. Looks really cool, though, in terms of that it is that 15-inch screen. And so let's see if there's any other announcements about Mac here, and we'll dive back in here in a moment. Actually, pricing is significant there. $1,299 is the start price, which is lower than maybe might have been expected. And they are lowering the price of their 13-inch MacBook Air to $1,099. So this is interesting, an update. I didn't expect them to maybe lower prices like that, but I actually do appreciate it. So I'm really interested in the 15-inch MacBook Air. So this is going to be good. Now they're going to be talking about some of their more pro products. So I'll pause here, kind of give you a recap here in a moment. I'm going to jump on here. So this is the Mac Studio update. They're basically just adding the new M2 Max and M2 Ultra chips. Pretty impressive. Obviously, these are powerhouse machines. Not very many people truly need these unless you're a high-end editor, producer, doing a lot of motion graphics. This M2 Ultra, though, supports up to 192 gigs of RAM and memory. That's pretty powerful. I love the power and the speed performance of this. This is pretty awesome. But this seems to be the only update that they're making to the Mac Studio, that is. And so this is, again, a welcome change, but probably not something that's going to be very applicable to most people. So as of now, the 15-inch MacBook Air is the most relevant product that they've announced at this event. But again, this Mac Studio, really impressive machine. If you are a video editor or you're looking for something maybe to use for like a good live stream encoding device at your church, I would highly recommend this. You may not need the highest end with this M2 Ultra, but you would take advantage of maybe the M2 Max version. Let's see what the pricing starts at here in a moment, but it probably starts where it did last at the previous version, which I believe is going to be just under $2,000, and I'll update you that in just a moment. Side note, the M2 Ultra version can support up to 6 very high resolution displays, so that's pretty awesome. Here's the recap of it. If you were watching, you could have paused the screen there to see that. Well, we've been waiting on this one. This is the Mac Pro, with Apple Silicon. So we're going to have the M2 Ultra and the Mac Pro, which again is pretty powerful. So this is, Dave, we have been waiting on this in terms of the Apple world, is the Mac Pro with their own chips. And so here it is. I'm going to watch a little bit, recap here in just a moment. What I will be curious to see is what's going to differentiate the Mac Pro from the Mac Studio with that M2 Ultra, because that, I mean, I'm sure they're about to tell me, but as of now, they're virtually the same. Like if you were to get a Mac Studio with M2 Ultra, you're getting, performance-wise, you're getting the same as Mac Pro, but it looks like the biggest difference is going to be the expandability with ports and things like that. And so, and this PCI expansion, 6 slots where PCI expansion slots where you can basically use these different modular upgrades, hardware. It's really high-level stuff, again, that anybody's going to really need this in our audience out there. Probably not. This is something that even for a high-end video editor like myself, I'm probably not going to touch this, but it is interesting to see. Here's a recap of it. M2 Ultra, a bunch of connectivity, which is a big thing. Apple kind of, we thought we were getting away from this and the pros didn't really like that, but this is obviously a sign that they're kind of going all in on this. And so let's take a look at pricing on all these, these two different Macs here. So they've got the Mac Studio. Yep, as predicted, starts at just under $2,000, $1,999. Let's see what the Mac Pro starts at. Again, same performance. Okay, starts at $69.99. I guess if you want to pay for that expandability, that's what you're paying for with this Mac Pro. So that is interesting. That seems like a really big up. And you know, I'll be honest, I don't understand all of this enough as far as the expandability factor of all that PCI stuff. I don't understand that enough to really fully grasp it. But I don't know. That seems like a really big jump just from the Ultra or from the Studio to the Pro. I don't know. Really seems like a big difference. Maybe we'll have to do the breakdown of the actual cost of what that's going to look like, but that really seems like a big jump just to get an actual Mac Pro. So interesting. Let's see what we're going to transition to now. That was the Mac segment. And so here back to old Tim Cook here talking about what we're going to go to next. So I'll be back here in just a moment. So yeah, we're jumping into talking about software now. So iOS looks like it's going to be first up. That's expected. So let's see what we got. And honestly, I'll throw this in there. I'm not expecting big upgrades to iOS or iPadOS this year because I think they're putting all their energy onto the VR thing, which, again, I could care less about, but that's kind of what I'm expecting. But we'll see if I'm right here in a moment. All right, so this is a feature where you can customize what they're calling your contact poster. So when you call someone, it's going to determine, I guess, how they see, you know, you're calling. It won't just be a picture and a name. You get to personalize it. I guess it's cool, but this is the kind of stuff that to me is just bells and whistles. It's not incredibly practical and functional. You know, it's just kind of, again, a bell whistle, a feature, all good, but not something that captivates me. So this is actually functional and practical. This is called live voicemail. So if somebody's calling you and you don't want to talk to them, you can basically send it to voicemail and listen or watch a live transcript of the voicemail and then decide, oh, I actually want to answer this call. So that's actually a really useful feature. Another functional feature here, whenever you FaceTime someone and they're not available, you can leave an actual like video message. So like a voicemail, but video. So that's pretty interesting. Now let's see what they've got for messages. So also some welcome changes here to message. You can more advanced search with some filters. And then you can also, the one that caught my eye was the ability to transcribe actual voice messages just in line there in the messages. So that's pretty interesting. This is interesting. This is called check-in. So you can let somebody know that like you're on your way or you're leaving soon. And actually it integrates with your location. And if you don't get there or leave by the time you said you would, it notifies the other person. So really great for parents and keeping track of their kids, for example, or even like spouses keeping track of each other. I think that's pretty interesting. This is a feature called live stickers. Not interested. So not reporting on this one. I'll get back with you when it gets interesting again. So this is interesting. It's called name drop. You just tap your phones together, exchange contact information. Don't know why they'd introduced this a long time ago. I feel like it's been available on Android or something similar to that. Pretty interesting, though. Uses AirDrop technology. It's called name drop again. It works with watches as well. So, again, thanks, Apple, but you should have done this a while ago. I do like it though. And now you're able to do AirDrop by just by proximity of your phones together. So you could share photos and other files, just by, you know, bringing the phones close to each other. So that's pretty interesting. Again, should have happened a while ago, but here it is. It will also work with SharePlay. So you bring your devices together, you can listen to stream music at the same time. And it's cool. I've never used this feature. SharePlay's been out for a while, but now, and I've never used it, but now you can bring it together, the phones together, to be able to start that SharePlay session. So that's also pretty interesting. Again, not something I use a lot, but maybe some will enjoy it. So there are going to be some improvements to autocorrect. Thankfully, predictive text and dictating. It looks like they're improving that across the board. This is a new feature. So I'm going to kind of listen to it and then I'll talk to you more about it here after I've kind of grasped it. So this is actually really cool. Apple's now going to build a journaling app into your iPhone and assumedly your iPad as well. And it's going to use what you did throughout your day, listening to music, taking photos, where you went. And then it's going to prompt you to journal about that. And it's going to record that. And of course, all of it's secure and private. And I do say Apple does a pretty good job about that. And so this is a really cool new app. Journaling is really healthy. It's a really great practice. And so this is going to help people journal. Of course, it'll notify you, each day or maybe as often as you tell it to journal, put an entry in. So I think this is really interesting. All right. So this is interesting. They just stole the idea from Watch. If you're got your phone mounted, and you kind of turn it sideways, they call it standby. It basically turns it into a old school alarm clock. As you can see kind of visually here, if you're watching, it's showing you the clock and the date and the weather even. It looks like you can change the way it displays it. So again, they're just stealing from the Apple Watch to basically apply it to your phone. But pretty interesting feature here. But what I'll be curious to see is this little stand they're showcasing. Is this something that Apple is going to make a little extra product that they sell, or are they going to let just third-party people or companies make it? So I'll be curious to see what they do with that. So the standby feature is kind of reminds you of like the Amazon Echo Show, which is kind of like a smart speaker but with a screen built in. And so that's interesting. So here's something that they're going to do, which I don't know how I feel about it. You don't have to say, hey, in front of Siri anymore. You just say the name Siri, and it's going to activate the, hey, Siri. Looks like offline maps is going to be another feature in iOS 17. So here is some interesting features here. This is kind of all the recap of everything in iOS 17. So kind of like I expected, I don't think there's any massive updates. Journal, all new apps, so that's interesting. And then a lot of it, though, is more just feeling over function, I guess you could say. Feature over function, maybe. But let's see. They are going to now talk about iPadOS, and so I'm interested to see where they're headed with this. I would really love to see some major upgrades to iPadOS, but we'll see. They are highlighting how they did release last month Final Cut Pro and Logic iPad versions. I'm not crazy about them, I'll be honest. They seem kind of like dumbed down versions of the computer versions, which I guess is what'd be expected. But they did mention that. Now they're going to talk about what iPad OS 17 has to offer, which again, I would love to see it to be some pretty cool upgrades, but I'm not expecting a lot of function, just more of that form and feel and feature and all that over functions. So like right now they're talking about widgets, which has already been on the phone. So again, this is interesting, but not all that compelling for me personally. I mean, I will say it's nice that you can interact so that you can actually interact with the widgets. So like you could mark a reminder off. That is actually kind of nice. So I settled that and I was like, oh, but this is a welcomed improvement to the current widgets. So, okay, the more I see it, the more I really see the practicality of it. The main thing is that you can interact with the widgets. If you know anything about the widgets on iPad right now, the interaction factor is not there. You have to actually tap the widget, which opens the app. Then you can interact. But this means you can actually interact within that widget without actually having to truly open the app, which is actually something I think I will take advantage of. This is bringing the same customization on the wall that they added to the wallpaper and home screen, lock screen on the iPhone last year. They're bringing it now to iPad. I never took advantage of that feature. So I'm like, cool. But again, not something I personally use. It's, again, something that's more about look and feel and aesthetic than actual functionality. But I'm sure many people will appreciate this. So they're going to add the health app to the iPad. Full disclosure, did not realize it wasn't already there. The health app, I think it's great. I use it just kind of in the background. You know, my watch and phone kind of track things, and that's great. But now you'll be able to see it on the iPad and, you know, kind of more detail, bigger screen. So I guess that's pretty interesting. So this actually is a very practical, functional feature. PDF The iPad is going to work much better with PDFs now, where, as they're demonstrating, you'll be able to fill in PDFs. It'll kind of automatically detect the fields and you can fill them in, sign easier, actually sign documents. So again, okay, proving me wrong here. Another very practical, functional aspect here that they're adding. Not a major upgrade, but again, practical and functional. So I do like to see this. Well, that's it for iPadOS. Kind of disappointing. Again, the PDF feature is cool. And the widgets, interactive widgets, yes, that's great. But, you know, and then a lot of the same, you know, features that were on iOS are going to be plugged into iPadOS. But overall, not a big update to iPadOS, but again, not expected. And now we're going to talk about macOS. So, again, I'm not expecting massive improvements here because I know here in a moment they're going to talk about their new VR headset and they're going to expect us all to be blown away. So they've spent all their energy on that rather than updating the stuff we all care about. But anyways, let's see what they have to say about macOS. So the name of it is macOS Sonoma. I don't care about the name, but there it is. A lot of the features that they've already announced on iPadOS and iOS 17 are going to be on this release of macOS. So, again, not unexpected. Looks like they're going to bring these video backgrounds that you would see on tvOS. They're bringing those to use as your Mac, as your MacBooks, your Mac's screensaver. So that's pretty interesting. So this is nice, and this is one of those things, it's a great feature, but why did it take Apple so long to do this? For the longest times, you can only access these widgets through the sidebar on your Mac, but now you can actually put them directly on the desktop, which again, this should have been available years ago. We finally have the functionality, so thanks, Apple. So you can actually, if you put a widget on your phone or your iPad, you can, as long as your phone and iPad are close to your Mac, you can actually just drag that widget directly onto your Mac. And they are interactive as well, so you can interact with the widget. So again, this is interesting. I just feel like it should have been introduced a long time ago. But nonetheless, it is an interesting feature. So this entire next section is all about gaming on the Mac, which is just something I could care less about. So this is one of those things I'm not going to give a lot of input on because I don't really care. But they are bringing improvements for gaming to the Mac. So this is an update to making video presentations with your Mac or like video conferencing. So if you're sharing your screen, it's intelligently going to be able to allow you to keep your video kind of predominant, even when you're sharing like a presentation or your screen. Looks like you can like intelligently remove the background. So this is a very functional one. I like to see this update here. And they do work with FaceTime, Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and these other conferencing apps. So this is a very welcomed update. You're able to now share passwords in like a group. So there's Safari and Mac and iPad, iPhone. They've been saving your passwords now for years. Well, now you can share those passwords with other people securely, kind of like LastPass or 1Password. It's just going to be built in now. And you can now set up kind of different you can be logged into different accounts. So like if you had 2 Dropbox accounts, Google accounts, you could be logged into both at the same time with these features. This is really cool. You can now make a website its own app. So you can make it a web app, which is really nice because that it's kind of like having a bookmark now that you can have as an app on your Mac. So I actually really do like that. A simple update. But something very welcomed. I just have to say this. No one cares about Stage Manager, especially on the Mac. I think it's got potential on the iPad, but I'm just a little soapbox there. If you don't know what it is, it doesn't matter. But if you know, you know. And I don't know. If anybody disagrees and thinks it's awesome, especially again, I could see the practicality on the iPad, but they released it last year on the Mac, and I don't understand it. So not a fan. Just a little rant there. All right, so that will complete the updates to macOS, and we are an hour into the event. Again, I have been not making you watch the whole thing. I'm trying to abbreviate this for you. So now they are going to talk about the home OS and iPad, or not iPad, tvOS, and things like that. So let's see what they have to say here. I doubt they will spend much time on this at all. All right, so now here are some coming updates on AirPods as far as the firmware, maybe some new hardware. They just released AirPods Pro not too long ago, so maybe it's an update to AirPods Max or just the original AirPods. We'll see. Could just be a firmware update. So actually, this is really, I'm going to really love this with my AirPods. It's called adaptive mode. So it takes transparency mode, which allows you to hear still what's going on around you while listening to whatever you're listening to, and the noise canceling mode, which cancels all the noise out. And it actually balances the two intelligently based on your environment. So it's going to filter out obnoxious sounds, but it's going to allow you to hear maybe relevant sounds like, hey, someone's passing you on your right on a bicycle or something was the example they gave. You'll hear that, but you won't hear the jackhammer going off in the distance necessarily. So this is an interesting update. I actually really appreciate that. So like having a conversation with someone, you'll automatically kind of reduce the sound and you'll be able to hear that person without having to maybe pop your AirPod out of your ear. Be able to mute yourself from the AirPods. That'll be nice. And again, that adaptive is working during phone calls. So you can mute yourself on a phone call and that adaptive noise canceling is working while you're on the phone call. So it's going to kind of help the person who's talking to you as well. So that's, again, I really like these updates. So yeah, really liking what I'm seeing coming to AirPods with this adaptive noise canceling. Now they're going to talk about what's going on with some more of the home features. So it seems like AirPlay, Apple TV, HomePods, and those kind of features. This is AirPlay in hotels. And so hotel televisions will have a QR code built in. Scan it with your phone. You're able to connect that TV and AirPlay content to it. Obviously, it'll take a while to roll out to different hotels, but this is something that is going to be nice for people that travel a lot. So this is SharePlay in the car, which is really practical. So if you've got CarPlay connected, anybody else in the car with a phone will be able to kind of input content into that CarPlay. So play new music basically would be the main feature of that. So this is a really cool update. So this is a redesigned control center on Apple TV. Kind of looks a little bit more, you can see if you're watching, kind of looks a little bit more like what you'd see on your iPhone or iPad. And so that is, that's something pretty cool. Oh, now you can locate your remote when you lose it on your phone. Fantastic. Again, really would have loved to have that for years now. So this is the ability now to do a FaceTime call on Apple TV, which is going to just connect to your phone or iPad, use that camera and microphone. And so then you can actually like interact with people, see them on your big screen and talk to them. This, again, I think is something that's really a nice feature. It's going to, you know, it helps people to, you know, stay connected. That's the kind of features I'd like to see. And so with the that FaceTime feature, it'll also work with the other apps as well, Zoom and Microsoft Teams, things like that. So again, as I expected, they didn't spend a lot of time updating on Home. What I expect is about to happen now is we are going to have a transition back to Tim Cook. And he, So sorry about that. I did forget about one part. They're going to talk about watchOS. Again, I don't expect big updates because I expect here they're going to go back to Tim Cook. And he's going to say, but we have one more thing. And they're going to ask their VR headset and expect us all to be blown away. And again, I could care less. Let's see what watchOS, though, has to offer first. So it didn't connect with me till now that this is actually the 10th version of watchOS. So the watch has been around for 10 years. So let's see if they do make some significant upgrades because of that. So this is a feature where you can, if you're looking at your watch, you can use the digital crown to scroll up and it'll show you more widgets. So I don't know. One of those things is kind of like kind of have to see it to understand it. It's basically expanding because right now with your watch face, you're kind of limited to what they call the complications on there. So now you can turn that digital crown and see even more, you know, content and widgets and interact in that way. So pretty interesting. So I like my Apple Watch. I really do. I use it to track. Mainly my thing is I use it to track exercise and get certain notifications on my wrist, like messages and stuff. And, you know, I like to, you know, check the time, check the weather. It's nice. Other than that, I'll be honest, I don't take full advantage of the Apple Watch. It's a device that I've only updated a couple times over the years in terms of like the actual hardware. So they're talking about like cycling features and stuff right now. As of right now, I don't really do the bicycle thing. So it's not my choice of exercise. And so I don't know, all this stuff is great. But I just because Apple Watch isn't really my main, you know, thing, I'm not going to have a lot of input here about this. Again, I'm just expecting them here in a few moments to wrap up the watch part and talk about the VR headset. Okay, so I'm just watching the clock here, and they're still talking about Apple Watch. And again, cool exercise, you know, fitness features. They talk about hiking, and they're going to talk about a few more here. But I'm watching the clock. And I don't know. They sometimes will run these events as long as 2 hours, but lately they've been sticking to an hour and a half. And we are about an hour and 15 minutes in. So I'm starting to wonder if they are not going to get around to the VR headset, which if that's the case, I would not be happier to be wrong. Because again, not interested at all. Don't think it's a good idea. But let's see. So this is a feature in watchOS where you can log how you're feeling in the mindfulness app. So they've got the journal. This kind of integrates with the journal app that they're introducing for iPhone. So it's very interesting. These devices are getting really personal. And to be clear, I have nothing against that. I think mental health is important, for the record. So I don't want anybody to think I'm dogging on it. I just think it's an interesting approach, and I don't fully understand it because, you know, we aren't really, we're just kind of watching and not, I'd be curious to actually use the feature when it's available, which, again, none of these OS, macOS, iPadOS, iOS, or watchOS are going to be available until the fall. So we're going to have to wait and see. So this feature actually monitors how long you've spent in daylight, which that's healthy for you to, you know, get exposure to daylight, certain amount of sunlight each day. So this is overall to kind of help with a certain type of disease, and I didn't catch the name of it. So I'm not really sure what that's called. But anyways, these are interesting health features. And for the record, they are spending a lot more time on watchOS than I thought they would. Oh, look at this. If you've got your phone or iPad too close to your eyes, it's going to tell you to back it up. So again, helping with vision there, vision health. So here's the recap of watchOS. It actually did. I mean, you know, watch is one of those things, like, again, I really probably should figure out how to maximize the capabilities of it, but I don't. So a lot of good updates to it. So now they're going to take it back to Craig Federighi, is that his last name? I should know this. But anyways, we're going to take it back to that guy. And he is going to, I don't know, maybe recap the software section and then maybe send it back to Tim Cook and make that big announcement. Or maybe not. So the OS, all the OSs will be available in public beta, which means for anybody to test in July. So that's about a month away. And then, of course, wide release in the fall. Now we're going back to Tim Cook. Let's see if they're going to get into the VR aspect of it. Yeah, here it is. One more thing. So, honestly, what I dreaded. They're about to present the VR headset, I'm sure. Okay, here it is. They're introducing it with this video. And as you can see, if you're watching, it appears to be some type of headset. Now, he did use the term augmented reality, which is slightly different than virtual reality. It basically combines what you're really seeing with, you know, the virtual elements. And I mean, I'm looking at this. There's no way this is going to be affordable. Of course, it does have the nice Apple look to it. It's got that digital crown on the side, like a similar to the watch and I think the AirPods Max. Yeah, there it is. Don't want it. Not interested in it. Nonetheless, but it does appear to be something that you can see out of. So I'll get back to you in a minute. Vision Pro. That's what they're calling it. So I will, I'll get back to you here in a moment after I've watched and give you my thoughts. Okay, this is Iron Man, you know, type stuff. So, and this isn't new. Facebook kind of has experimented with this, obviously with Meta and Oculus with Microsoft, or I can't keep track of them all. But this is a VR headset that you see through, and it projects these things into your reality. Very, very impressive technologically. But I'm just not into this. I would love to. It's one of those things, like, I would try it, but to get into it, I don't know. I don't know if it's something I could fully adopt. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but let's see where else they got here. Yeah, so look at this. This is how you operate this thing. You just move your head to browse what's going on. When you look at the icons and the things, it kind of lights up to indicate you're looking at it. And you use your fingers. It's got these sensors and cameras to know when you're wanting to select something, tap something. Again, trippy stuff here. I mean, we are becoming dangerously close to mind reading here. I mean, this is wild. And Siri's integrated, so that's how you would, you know, input text, for example, into a text field, things like that. But just look how ridiculous this looks on somebody's face. This cannot be our future. I mean, seriously, that looks like you're wearing like scuba gear, like scuba diving goggles. I don't know. I don't want to be that old guy that's resistant to new technology. And I'm not saying this doesn't have a practical application. I'm just talking about how ridiculous it looks on your face. They also have a virtual keyboard. So it sits up in space and you just literally, this is how you would look. But you, through the goggles, the Vision Pro, whatever the heck it's called, will be working with that. So this is what I was expecting. And actually the most practical form of it is that it's going to be able to integrate with your Mac. So for example, you can use like a physical keyboard to input. And then you can actually project what's on your Mac into the goggles here and, you know, be able to kind of have, I mean, like you see behind me, if you're watching, like I've got three screens back here, that's my workspace. You kind of have that, but virtually. So again, I can see that as a practical application of this. I just noticed that there's that cable that's like running from the thing down their back. What's that all about? So you could FaceTime on it, but they haven't made it clear how they see you because, I mean, what, do they just look at your eyes? I don't know. Yeah, so they didn't make it clear, like, if you're wearing the goggles, how do the people you're FaceTiming with see you? Or do they just hear you? For the record, this is a really long event. We're an hour and 35 minutes in. And so you're welcome for recapping this, but we're not done yet. And I should say, I think the difference that sets this apart, again, the VR world is not something I know a lot about. But I think what sets this apart from other devices is the fact that you literally can see through, it's transparent, and it's projecting that, you know, on your actual, like, the screen. But you can see through it, and you can kind of wipe everything away and actually look and see the real world. That's why it's called augmented reality, as opposed to maybe virtual reality. This is high tech stuff. Very impressive technologically. I will definitely try this at the Apple Store. You can see this. You got this kind of like wraparound panoramic view. I mean, this is, again, very impressive tech. I am curious though. It's got to be expensive. There's no way this is sub $2,000, but we'll find that out soon, I'm sure. So you can capture video. They call it spatial video, directly using the goggles. I keep calling them goggles. And so you can watch, capture it, and then rewatch it on the device. So you're able to watch a movie, and you can make the screen as big as you want. You know, again, you're the only one who could see it, but if you're watching it, I'm trying to figure out what you do about audio. They haven't made that clear yet. Again, this is all so new. So, I mean, we're all just trying to wrap our minds around what this is. on how this works. So this is called cinema mode. I mean, literally, it's giving you the feeling, the look that you're actually in a movie theater, and you could be doing this while you're on an airplane. Now, for long flights, that is appealing. And you can completely create a different environment so that you don't kind of forget you're on the airplane. So you can watch 3D movies. So obviously this is a two-dimensional screen that you would be watching this on. But, you know, think about an IMAX screen and whatever, you'd be able to watch that. Now, again, that aspect of it, super cool. I don't know if it's enough for me to say I'm going to drop the however many thousands of dollars this is going to cost, but you can see that. See, they're kind of demonstrating the 3D element of it. For entertainment purposes, that is really compelling. And for gaming, which again, gaming's not a big deal to me personally, but I know I have a lot to say in terms of, like, I don't want a future where this is our world, where we're all wearing stupid goggles like this and just existing in a virtual world. But if there are practical functionality and capabilities of it, I'm interested to see where that goes. Okay, so it looks like they've kind of finished the presentation of it, and they are going to be integrating with, you know, Disney. Oh, and they're bringing on the CEO of Disney, I'm sure, to tell us how they're going to take advantage of the technology. Of course, Disney's desperate for some cash right now, so I'm sure they're loving this opportunity to have this in with Apple here. So Disney is going to be creating content that's optimized for this Vision Pro, and they're going to kind of a demo reel of it. Again, it's really hard to comprehend because we're watching what's supposed to be three-dimensional content on a two-dimensional screen. I will say, if anybody could take advantage of this technology from an entertainment perspective, it's Disney. Anyways, this again, entertainment-wise, this is interesting. I just don't want this to be our future of a world where we just don't live in reality and we just exist with the goggles on our face all the time. And with that in mind, though, I will say this, and you know what? I could be wrong, you know, and that is what's scary is, you know, these overlords, these elites, they have some type of agenda. But it does seem like the angle here, that at least in this initial release and announcement, is that this content is not like, okay, so Mark Zuckerberg, I'm going to take a moment while they're doing this little demo reel, because you can kind of watch it in the corner. If you're watching, you can kind of see visually how Disney's planning to take advantage of this technology. Mark Zuckerberg literally did envision that world. Again, there was no real aspect of it. It was a true, just you put it on, all you can see is this metaverse that he was creating. And that idea has completely flopped, thankfully, at least the meta side of it has. I will say that it seems, again, it's very too early to tell, that Apple's intention here is to create a device that just helps you to connect with your content, but maybe not necessarily designed to fully take over your life. Now, we say that, but, you know, the phones have already taken over life, you know, the screens, you know, we're always scrolling, always on our screens. And so this is just taking the screen from your hand and putting it over your eyes. I am interesting. And they're saying that, just a side note here, that Disney Plus is going to be available as soon as they launch these Vision Pro headset. But anyways, all that to say, I love the practical entertainment side of it. Again, I just don't want this to be the world we live in. And it would seem that maybe that's not the angle Apple's taking on it. So I'm sure he's about to announce the price here in a moment. Oh no, we're not done talking about it. We're going to talk about, you know, the technology behind it. So man, this episode is longer than I expected because this event is longer than expected. So you didn't have to watch the full 2 hours, but this recap is taking longer than I thought. So now they're going to talk about the technology that they use to develop it. Again, my big question is going to be, how much is this thing going to cost? So they're doing their best Joni Ive impression here, with Joni Ive's the original designer behind all of the products at Apple before he left a few years ago. British accent. He always did these videos to introduce the design of the actual physical product. So they've got this British guy. He's got a very Johnny Ive-esque voice kind of talking through it in the exact same form. I don't know, though. The design of these, it's just hard for me. I mean, it looks very... It's hard for me to say it looks good, because, again, it's just... It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous concept. And just to have these things on your face. And, you know, whatever. That's innovation for you. So the audio is built into the headset, too. So I don't know if it kind of... It looks like maybe it goes over your ear to kind of fit like a headphone. So... I guess that was answers my question. I was wondering how that works. And what you're wondering, what if I wear glasses? It's cool, man. You can order custom lenses to fit this thing. So you're welcome. Okay, yeah, so that's what the little cable is there. So that little cable goes down. That's the battery. So the battery has to hang out in your pocket. I mean, they say they do that so you don't have the weight of the battery on your head, but that's definitely going to be something that down the road they're going to have to figure out, because that's not going to age well in terms of having this cable going down your back or whatever into your pocket. So it does use an M2 chip. That's what it's using to power this thing. So that's desktop power on a headset. So that's impressive performance. And then this R1 chip is for their, I guess, specifically for the device here. Again, I don't claim to understand all this, but it looks like it's got both of them in there, the M2, the R1, and it's powering this device. So there's the answer to my question about FaceTime. As you begin to use it, it scans your face, and it creates a AI version of you, which if you look closely, you can definitely tell that is CG, computer animated. Pretty trippy. And now they're announcing the name of the operating system, which Vision OS. No surprise there. And I think if I'm understanding it right, the goggles are not transparent. This is all new to me. But apparently what they're doing is they are projecting. You've got the goggles on. It's kind of one layer. And that's on your eyes. And then they're projecting... Like the basically the audio or the video visual of your eyes, to where so when somebody looks at you, they can see your eyes, but they're not really your eyes. Maybe I'm misunderstanding that, but that kind of seems it's pretty trippy. Again, trippy is kind of the theme word here of this segment of this whole episode here. And they're still not done talking about this thing. Now they're going to a section where they talk about developers. I probably won't have much to report on this section. So, security-wise, you know, we've got Touch ID, Face ID. As expected, this uses something called Optic ID, which is going to use your eyes to unlock your device. So, again, would be expected with a device like this. So they're recapping all the benefits of it. And that is going to justify the cost. I said $2,000. I don't know. Yeah, they're talking about justifying the cost. I think it's going to be $3,000 plus, because they're trying to say, oh, here's what it replaces, all these screens, all this different audio devices. So let's see what the price is. Ooh, $34.99. I was $500 off. And it's not coming out until next year, early next year. So it's probably sometime before March. And this is pretty typical when they announce this is truly a brand new product. So that way developers can develop content and apps and all of that. So $3,500, that's a hefty cost. Interesting. All right. So that's the end. So just to recap, they started by announcing new Macs. There's the 15-inch MacBook Air, which, if I'm honest, is the most intriguing aspect of this entire event. Then there's the update of Mac Studio with the M2 Max and the M2 Ultra. And now the brand new Mac Pro, which also has the M2 Ultra and allows for a lot of hardware expansion. Again, M2 Ultra, the Studio, the Pro, I don't really see the need of most people to jump in on that, but they're there. Then, of course, updates to iOS, iPadOS, macOS, watchOS, and then all of the audio and home. A lot of new features, but again, nothing huge and massive, because what stole the show was, of course, the new Vision Pro and Vision OS, which is Apple's VR headset, which, again, here's my prediction on that. It is either going to be a complete total flop like Facebook's Metaverse was, or it's going to define the future. And I know those are two drastic outcomes, potential different outcomes. But I can see the potential value in some aspects of it. For example, it being able to replace, again, I talk about the screens I have here. I mean, I have in my studio set up here, I have four different, technically five or six different computer screens, depending on if I have a laptop open or not. And I love having multiple screens. It allows for productivity, be able to work on, you know, different screens and get more done, be more productive in that way. Well, now it takes that and makes that capability just virtual. And so you can have limitless screens. And beyond that, it's not just a two-dimensional screen, it's three-dimensional space. And so this is something we really are going to have to demonstrate to fully comprehend and understand the capabilities. Again, my biggest concern about this, and this is my optimism coming out, is that this does not appear to be the same vision that Mark Zuckerberg pitched when he first announced the metaverse. The metaverse came across as something, a new world, a new reality, alternate reality, that Zuckerberg and the boys wanted you to live in. It was, you wake up in the morning, you put your headset on, you go to virtual work, you go to virtual grocery stores, you go to virtual, you know, hangouts, bowling, and things like this. And then at night, you take the headset off and you go right back to bed. And so you never really enjoy the physical world. My optimism here, from what I'm seeing with what Apple has announced, with this new Vision Pro headset and kind of, they call it augmented reality. Because what they are trying to do is they are trying to combine both worlds. They're trying to simply overlay the virtual onto the physical and the real. So again, I can see the benefits productivity-wise. For, you know, like I said, being able to maybe be more efficient, get more done when you're wearing this headset. I could see the value in terms of personal entertainment, being able to, you know, watch a movie and feel like you're in a movie theater type of thing and enjoy it in that way. But again, this is going to be something that, first of all, if it does take off and catch on, well, I can still see the potential downfalls to it, in that it's just another thing to keep us existing in a world that's not real. Now, before we get too skeptical of that, or I should say critical of that, like I said before, we're already living that way. It's just with a screen in our hands instead of, and this is rather just a screen that we wear over our eyes. So there's not a massive disparity. It's like the visual I gave before, if you're watching, it's taking it from right here in your hand to right here in front of your eyes. It's the same idea, it's just a little more immersive. And so really what it comes down to is this: the very, very philosophical application is that you have to set boundaries. You have to set limits. You can't, doesn't matter if it's a screen in your hand, a screen on your wrist, a screen, you know, that is, you know, an iPad or a computer or a screen that you now wear over your eyes. It all comes down to how much you discipline yourself to say, no, I am not going to, I'm not going to become immersed in this world and obsessed with this false, fake world. I do hate that they use the term reality at all. Virtual reality, augmented reality. It is not reality. It is maybe an enhancement potentially to reality, but in all seriousness, it is not true reality. It is virtual. And to say the word, even the words virtual reality, if you think about, they're kind of two opposite words. Virtual means not real. Reality means real. And so all that to say, that is just what we have to keep in mind. We have to keep that at the forefront here, is that we are not going, doesn't matter what the technology is, we want to be an intentional, informed consumer, and we want to control our media. We want to control our technology so that it does not control us. And we want to be on that. Now, this is something I have to say too. We don't need to be so resistant to this new technology that we get left behind. And that doesn't mean like, hey, go spend $3,500 on a headset as soon as it comes out, wear it all the time, become obsessed. Absolutely not. But I'm talking about more from a creative standpoint. We have to be able to create. We have to be able to develop content and apps and services that are compatible with this. Because if not, if the good people don't create content and the good people don't learn how to use these tools for good, then the bad people will. And the bad people will use it to promote their agenda, to promote their negativity. And that is what we cannot have. And so don't get me wrong. I am not completely opposed to this new concept of technology in these VR headsets and Apple's Vision Pro headset particularly. What I am just simply cautioning us is to say, it doesn't matter what the technology is, we will not become consumed with it. We will not allow ourselves to be controlled by it. We will control the technology. Every consumer, every user of technology out there has to make that determination. And so this is interesting. It's fascinating. I'm looking forward. Of course, it's going to be, you know, next year before we're able to get our hands on it. I'm looking forward to, you know, giving it a try. Now, props to Apple if they can figure out how to make a headset that does not make me nauseous. That's one of the biggest reasons I'm resistant to this VR technology, is because anytime I've wore a VR headset, it tends to make me nauseous. And so maybe they've been able to fix that. I don't know. All that to say, this is interesting. And it's new technology. It's innovative. I will say that it is innovative. It is bold. It is ambitious. And for those reasons, I'm not going to completely rule it out. I just want us to approach it with caution. And so I know this was a longer episode. I did not anticipate it being this long because I didn't anticipate the event being that long. But I hope it was helpful. I hope I did save you some time, especially if you're one of those people that watches or listens on double speed like myself. Well, hey, I saved you a lot of time instead of watching a 2-hour event. We had just a less than one hour long podcast episode here. So I do hope you found it helpful. And again, it doesn't matter what the technology is. It doesn't matter what the device is, what the media is. Just remember, it's more important to be that creative contributor than it is to be a constant consumer. And so I do want to remind you once again to take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel. This would definitely be the type of episode that you want to watch, not just listen to. So if you haven't connected with us on YouTube yet, be sure to head over to youtube.com/mustincrease. But also follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Remember, if you want to connect with me, learn more about what we do for churches and businesses and families, head over to mustincrease.com, and I'd love to connect with you there. And until next time, I want to thank you so much for joining us as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope right here on the Must Increase Podcast.